The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 39. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 39, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Military Department Composition, an act relating to the Military Department. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 39, engrossed Military Department Composition, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill number 39 do pass. And I'm looking for my floor manager, and he's missing, so I think I will grab that thing and do it for him till he gets here. Okay. Mr. Chairman, what we have here is a bill brought to us by our military, and it will conform what we're actually doing and amending and reforming language and law as it's written. So we have a few. Most of them are like technical changes. The bill is written fairly broadly so that we don't have to come back every year and repair the language again. So if you look on page 2, military department means the adjutant general, state military affairs, and those divisions that may be authorized by federal and state authority. And so throughout the bill, it does this. It changes the language. It also, this one's yours. Would you like it? Oh. My helper is here at last. Reinforcements. So what we have, the way they've been functioning and the way we function is pretty similar, but some of the language is different. And we have adjutant general, when in fact there are, I believe right now there are 3 or 4 of them. There can be more at different times. And so the language is generalized and more generic so that it can be. Are you ready? And I'm going to turn this over to the floor manager.
Representative Blackburn.
Mr. Speaker, sorry I'm a tad late. This is a good bill. It's just a cleanup bill. I don't know what John's told you already, but the challenges were basically because there were so many various sections of the Title 19. For example, John told you now they had 5 general officers. We have them now. We only had recognized 3. The Wyoming Department now includes a joint staff that did not exist until recent years. This change brings the definition of the military department up to date. The current statute calls the adjutant general, the chief of staff, the chief of staff, the COS. It's a military term of art, in case you're wondering. The adjutant general is an official title of the commander of the state National Guard, and the director is a typical Wyoming State Department held title. He only answers to the governor, as we know. This bill has no state fiscal impact. It corrects those issues and provides a meaningful law that reflects the makeup of Wyoming Military Department and does it in such a way that future changes should not be required. I just ask for your favorable vote if there's no questions.
Question. I'd like to, before we go forward with this question, remind the body to not use personal names in our discussions. Thank you very much. And with that question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Eklund's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 39 do pass. Correction, Senate File 39 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. All right, Senate File 39 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 40. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 40, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Military Department Record Keeping, an act relating to the Military Department. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 40, engrossed, Military Department Record Keeping, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Cork, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable, with recommendation that Senate File number 40 do pass, and I turn the explanation of the bill over to my colleague from the southwest part of the state.
Representative Crank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 40 comes to us from the commission that helps with Veterans Affairs. This is a cleanup bill. It has to do pretty much like it states, Military Department record keeping. It's presented due to various sections of Title 19 do not accurately reflect current duty titles, organization, and manning. Current statutes fail to allow for modern electronic record keeping. Suggested amendments in the Senate file are amendments to allow the department to maintain electronic records, cause the department to maintain records of veterans who declare Wyoming as their residence, and causes the department to hold records until authorized to properly dispose of those records. And the Adjutant General may delegate responsibilities to those underneath him. We can go through the bill real quick, but it's really just looking to clean up language to allow for electronic records keeping. Page 2, line 4, he shall keep a record of all and maintain electronic access to all current records. So that's basically it in a nutshell, is looking to update the definitions and the record keeping and the time frames that the department must maintain records. If there's any questions, I can try to answer them now.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I have two questions. The first is on page 3, line 11, this gives the Adjutant General the authority to designate responsibilities to a appointed board, commission. And I'm not fast enough to get the commission's responsibilities out, but I wonder if he's actually a member of that commission or has authority over that commission, because that's a gubernatorial appointed commission. So that would be my first question. The second question, I wonder about the records for those veterans who declare Wyoming as a residence upon separation. They would have to have access to the Department of Defense records, and I want to know if they have access to that. As you will recall, we had a bill earlier in the session that dealt with benefits to separating active duty members' dependents, and that would certainly help with that issue, but I just wondered what kind of access they have to the Department of the Federal Department of Military to those records. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Not sure I heard the second part. The first part was the commission is, the general has direct control over the commission, and I believe appoints his commission. The second part was on record keeping and federal records, and there are both. I shouldn't ask questions. I think you're discussing what kind of records are disposed of, and we were assured that these would not be any type of record that would be necessary to be kept by the Veterans Administration. Cover it.
Go ahead. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last question was whether or not this commission has the authority or the access to the federal information. They do, and that is delegated to them just because of the changeover between the government, between the state and federal government with the National Guard. Those documents are available to them.
Any further question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Eklund's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file 4-0 do pass, please say aye. All those opposed, please say no. Senate File 40 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chairman.
Majority Floor Leader.
Please move Senate File 54 to the bottom of the first page. So our next bill will be Senate File 19, then followed by Senate File 41.
Okay, so that request was to move Senate File 54 to the bottom. Our next will be Senate File 19, followed by Senate File 41. So, as we said, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19. The reading of the clerk will please read the file.
Senate File 19, introduced by Senator Emmerich, Snowplow Lights, an act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 19, engrossed snowplow lights, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Pipirinen. Signed, Representative Laux, Acting Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File Number 19 do pass, and I further turn that explanation over to the good representative from the water that is green. I think I said water that is sweet last time, but I think it's both. Here he is.
Representative Blake.
Thank you. Whether the water's sweet or green, I'll take either one of them. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you the blue light special right here in the corner. So come on over for the blue light special. What happened? In 2009, we passed a bill that allowed the snowplows that roam our state's highways and for that same department to add an additional blue light on the back of those snowplows. And it makes them easier to see. It really does, folks. But what happened is there are some municipalities who thought that applied to them also. And so recently a patrolman let somebody from a specific county know that actually the statute only applies to snowplows for the state. And what we're doing here, if you can see on the bill, we added on page 2, vehicles used or contracted by a municipality, county, or the department to clear snow from public streets, roads, or highways. So we're going to let them have the option. They don't have to put them on if they don't want to. But blue light has been used in the railroad industry for years because it's the most visible light with the least amount of intensity there is. So it's good. It's easier to see these snow plows when you're behind them and there's a big white out, they're easier to see, and I just stand for an aye. I'd ask for an aye vote. Stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Eklund's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so on the recommendation that House or correction Senate File 19 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Senate File 19 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This moves Senate File 41 to the bottom of the page. So the next bill will be Senate File 43.
All righty. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 43. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 43, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Alcoholic Beverages Revisions, an act relating to alcoholic beverages. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 43, engrossed. Alcoholic Beverage Revisions respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. No, Representative Edwards. Absent, Representative Lone. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with the recommendation that Senate File 43 do pass. There is a Standing Committee Amendment. I would move that at this time and turn over the explanation of the Standing Committee Amendment and the bill to the good representative from District 1.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to the Standing Committee Amendment, because that has been moved, I'll explain that really quick. That's hours of sale generally. So taking testimony, we heard from a lot of local, some of the local municipalities and local counties. And a lot of those places are already implementing really their own hours on some of these outfits that sell alcohol. And a lot of them are of a shorter time period. That's their right to do so within their own jurisdiction. So this language reflects that. I'll stand for questions on the Standing Committee Amendment.
You've heard the motion of the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in regards to the legislation, what we're looking at is starting on page 2. It's just a lot of really cleanup language, and some of this is just getting rid of archaic language from post-prohibition. So starting on page 2, it's pretty easy cleanup, set pursuant to cleanup language. Page 3, cleanup language, set pursuant to. Going to page 4. Specifically, you're looking at applicants for a license or permit shall pay the required fee in each fee in cash or by certified check. So that's allowing for these businesses to pay by other means if they need to, credit card, what have you, or their regular check. So they're paying these local licensing authorities, your cities and towns. The cities and towns want to be able to accept a personal check or something from the business. So this just cleans that up. Going on to the bottom of page 4, we're striking the existing language in regards to the $500 requirement or limit. And basically, Mr. Chairman, that just makes it so that we're just leaning back on the $2,000 because $500 is not much liquor anymore. Going on to page 5, specifically what we're doing there is dealing with the restaurant liquor licenses. No matter where you go, there's a limit on, it seems like we're running out on full liquor licenses and bar and grill, but we're not short of restaurant liquor licenses by any stretch. So there's lots of those out there, so we're just getting rid of some of these limitations that are on restaurant liquor licenses, some of the aspects saying that they don't have to have a cap because there's tons out there, Mr. Chairman. So going on to page number 6, set pursuant to, more cleanup language. Page 7, putting in the right piece of statute, cleanup language. Going to page 8, you can see set pursuant to, more cleanup language, Mr. Chairman. Down in the bottom part of page 8, we're striking, that has to do with special malt beverage permit for public auditoriums, civic centers, or auditoriums. We're striking meeting the qualifications of subsection B. Specifically, Mr. Chairman, that has to do with the size of that special event center as far as how many people they can hold.
Currently under statute, that only exists for like two or three places in the state of in our state, but there are a lot of different areas indeed that can be considered an event center. So this is just cleaning up that language. Mr. Chairman, 9 under 12.5201, cleaning up that language, set pursuant to. Mr. Chairman, going to page 10, we under definitions, good cause, we accept out as provided in Wyoming Statute 12.2201H, the distributor intentionally sells the supplier's products to a reseller. Mr. Chairman, going to page 11, more cleanup language. With that, I'll stand for questions.
Well, question being called. Oh, we've got someone running up now. You better hurry up there, Representative Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like an explanation of the repealers before we vote on this, please.
Chairman's Wanitzer. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to talk real slow for a second and talk about some of these repealers. So some of these repealers, such as 12.5101, if you'll see, we actually that repealed that B portion. We're actually getting rid of ABC now with the Standing Committee Amendment that was adopted. That ABC was the hours set by Wyoming statute on when these can stay open. With the Standing Committee Amendment, we adopted language that allowed the local authority, whether it's the county or the city, to handle that. Still waiting. I'll entertain other questions as I see they're currently coming, but I'll bet that really quick, Chairman of the Corporations Committee will have it. Well, we'll stand for more questions.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question goes to the bottom of page 5. The stricken language 20 through 23, and what the context of that is, what the implications of that is with regard to not considering within licenses. I know this was just kind of brushed on by the presenter of the bill, but I guess I need what's a practical implication in a community of this language being stricken? Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Specifically, when we're talking about this, we're talking about the restaurant and liquor license. So that's it's essentially obsolete language in regards to the restaurant population formula. So like I said, this is cleanup language. It's not needed because, and my chairman will correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a ton of restaurant licenses out there. So this just gets rid of obsolete language that's not working.
Chairman Swanser.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Going through the repealers on page 11, section 2, the first 12.4103A1, that's the prohibition on city councils, and the court overturned the statute in 1998, and so it really is a cleanup. We never took this out of our statutes, but there's a case law that basically overturned 12.4103A. 12.4104C is no longer used. We haven't used that since the 70s. 12.4202 has to do with permits of alcohols and special clubs. We did away with that in 1961, never took it out. 12.4407C, that's the population formula, which we no longer use. That was, you'll see on page 4 or 5 of the bill. We originally had this thing where you could have to you couldn't have more permits than 50 times your county population. It was on this weird kind of formula. We've never used that in an application. No municipality has ever held to that, and so we just did away with that section. 12.4504B through E, those are all the provisions related to auditoriums. In the original statute, we allowed for these auditorium civic centers or public events, but they had to have at least 5,000 people, and that statute's never really made any sense, and there's only three places in the state that even qualified under that, and so we amended that in the interim. 12.5101B, those are the hours of operation statutes we talked about that got amended in the Standing Committee Amendment. 12.5204 and 12.8201. 12.5204 is the provision in our law that talks about prostitutes and gambling, for lack of a better term, but basically says when liquor is provided in those type of establishments or those type of operations, that you have separate provisions, and we don't do that with liquor licenses anymore. It's how you could hold up a liquor license, and we haven't used those statutes in a century. And then 12.8.201 is on the occupational tax that came along with liquor licenses. That was a thing that came out of the Civil War, and we did away with those in our other statutes about 12 years ago. And so we haven't used 12.8.201 on occupational tax stamps in, well, forever, but we did away with that statute in our last repealer about 12 years ago in the section, and we missed one. So those are the repealers.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then a question on 12.4.407C, which is being repealed, and on that language. So it's saying after the maximum number of appropriate licenses have been certified by the commission, the number of restaurant liquor license issued shall not exceed 50% of the number of the retail liquor licenses. Now, that's a policy shift, right? And I just want to get the understanding of why we're pulling that limitation off. I'm not particularly opposed to it or for it. I just would like to know why we are taking that particular restriction or limitation out.
Chairman Swanser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that is a very significant question. And the testimony we heard in the interim is that for some reason local licensing authorities never actually utilized that, whether they purposefully exceeded it or whether they didn't know that was in statute. That statute has not been held to. And so we had a couple of ways to go about that. We could crack down, and I think we all know with liquor licenses in here, there's already enough contention. And so that really wasn't the best option. We thought maybe the best option was just to repeal that section.
Representative Greer.
So, Mr. Chairman, that begs a question. If the locals weren't enforcing the current statutes, why are we now putting it into statute to let them establish the hours?
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that was a serious question about the hours. So in regards to the hours and the local authority being passed down there, that's something that we looked for throughout legislation, and we worked on specifically with the association that does represent municipalities and the association that does represent counties. It's a local authority option. That's something they're already doing, is limiting the city in the center of the state already does that, where on Sundays they shut down their bars at 10 o'clock in the evening. So this is it. I'll stand for questions, I guess.
Do I hear the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 43 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
Senate File 43 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back in the gallery today, folks, we have the Wyoming Boys and Girls Club's Youth of the Year winners from each site around the state. And so with us today is Sergio Lemuez from Sweetwater County, Michael Martinez Montano from Laramie County, Tessa Williams from Carbon County, Sierra White from Natrona and Bighorn Counties, Case Neal from Fremont County, Emilio Diaz from Laramie County. We also have the Junior Youth of the Year, Lakeisha Thorpe from F.E. Warren, Lexi Archuleta from Rollins, and Des Pauly from Cheyenne. Please join me in welcoming all of them.
Welcome to the House. Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to try one more bill, Senate File 41. That was previously moved to the bottom. It's back up, and we're on it.
Sounds good. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41. The reading clerk will now read the bill.
Senate File 41, introduced by Appropriations, Enterprise Technology Services Amendments. an act relating to the administration of government. Mr. Chairman, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 41, Enterprise Technology Services Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it does do so with a recommendation of do pass for Senate File 41. And I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the good Speaker Pro Tem.
Speaker Pro Tem Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, Senate File 41 codifies what we've had for several budgets. Everything in here was budgets, footnotes, and we've taken them and turned them into statutes. As most of you will remember, back in, I believe, 2015, we decided that we should not be putting legislation into the budget bill. So we've been slowly removing all of these 300 series, as they were called, and putting them into statute. And this does four of those. The first one on page 2, line 8, just says that computer purchases are made by the Chief Information Officer's replacement program and uses the buying power of the state to do this. On E, Romanet 5, on lane 18, is the universal service charge, and it says the state will go after the federal money that's available for that. That universal service charge is what you see on your telephone bill. It just says universal service charge, and that provides telephone service for those who have hearing impairments and those sorts of things. And we'll go look at the federal money to take care of that one. Under N on page 3, provides a network to provide telecommunications transport services for state government and higher education, and goes on to discuss who applies for that, who gets that. One thing in here, and this all goes back to the unified network, there was a concern when that was put in place that the unified network would compete with private enterprise. And the agreement that was reached was, as we would not, that the unified network would be for the state, operations, the executive branch, the legislative branch, school districts, but would not include towns, counties, municipalities, and those people. And that codifies that even further. And that's pretty much the bill in a nutshell. With that, I'll stand for questions.
All right, question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Nicholas's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File number 41 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. Senate File 41 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, say no. The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, our Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. Senate File 2, recommended do pass. Senate File 4, recommended do pass. Senate File 13, recommended do pass. Senate File 18, recommended do pass. Senate File 34, following a failed roll call vote, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Senate File 38, recommended do pass. Senate File 39, recommended do pass. Senate File 40, recommended do pass. Senate File 19, recommended do pass. Senate File 43, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 41, recommended, do pass. Signed, Representative Lone, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Congratulations and thank you, Representative Lone. Okay, members, we are, thank you for that. That was a nice session, Committee of the Whole. We got some work done, keep priming the pump with Senophiles. And so now we are back on House Bill 1, third reading, regular. And members, I have us on third reading amendment number 17. And I believe the amendment list has been updated over the weekend. So it should be correct, and we'll notify you of any changes. Third reading amendment number 17, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 17 to House Bill 1, and I ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, it feels like I've been waiting for this forever. All right. In order to go over this amendment, it would be valuable or useful if you had your budget available. Because this is a fairly complicated amendment, but all it does is delete a three-page Section 320. So I urge you to vote no on Section 320, and I want to walk through why. So first, 320 appears to be target. So what 320 does, and I'll just remind us, is that this is what was called the hard freeze of state positions, as well as a direction to the governor to eliminate 75 positions for the fiscal year 1920 budget. So, in my mind, what this section does is it targets one specific group of employees and ignores others. And second, the timetable doesn't make sense to me and even anticipates some problems with not very good solutions when instead we have the solution, which is our balanced budget process. So I want to walk us through what's going on here. So first, look at sections A and E together. So Section A has the auditor make a list of vacant and filled positions, but Section E defines who will be included on that list. So it's only those workers who are generally funded and work full-time. This only includes 60% of state workers. So only 60%. 4,500 positions are covered. 3,500 positions aren't covered. So this will be grossly inequitable and unfair. In some agencies, where people sit right next to each other, some of whom are fully funded by state and some of whom are funded by state and feds, for example. Then we've got some state agencies that are wholly state-funded, like the agency that takes care of prisoners, and other state agencies that have virtually no state funding, like the one that takes care of roads and bridges. So the agency that takes care of prisoners would be included in this list, but the agency that takes care of roads and bridges would not be. So to me, this seems like it's setting up a really, really unfair comparison between positions and workers that are covered and those that aren't. And again, this is not small. This is a 60-40 split. So I think 320 is grossly unfair in terms of who it covers and who it doesn't. It also makes the assumption in other places in the budget that university and community college workers should per se be in that 60% that are covered because there are cuts to those agencies that are making that assumption, and we'll talk more about that later. So again, the first thing is that 320 is grossly unfair in terms of who's included and who's not. The second thing that concerns me about 320 is the way that it kind of contemplates the timetable of moving along. If you remember, it says that these 75 positions need not be eliminated until June 30th of 18, kind of thinking about the 1920 budget. However, when you think about the budget process, it's directing the governor to eliminate these positions for the fiscal year 19 budget, which gets done right after the October Craig report comes out. The governor needs to put together the budget by December 1st. So in here, there is an anticipation of kind of a mess that could happen. Part C anticipates a mess. And so Part C allows this wiggle room of the hard freeze in A with the mess that's possible if someone, for example, and again, we'll use the example of the agency that takes care of prisoners, loses a warden. All right? How do you have a hard freeze when you have a warden, right, that you need to replace? Well, you have to go to C in order to do that. And C allows for an exchange with another agency, but only if a position is available in another agency. So if we lose a warden today, we might not be able to exchange until later on, leaving who knows what, right? And so the answer is that we could have an enormous mess between early resignations and this not being implemented fully until June 30th, and then the whole budget process that starts almost immediately, but with this section saying it doesn't need to be implemented until June 30th. So I don't think we need 320. We already have an obligation for a balanced budget process. We have a process that's set up that takes care of our oversight, both the JAC and then us in the budget session, and it's grossly inequitable in terms of the 60-40 split. All right, and with that, I know my time is up, and so I will take any questions. So on and against.
Thank you.
I'm in your favor of 320.
Thank you. On in favor of Amendment 17.
Okay.
And thank you. And you actually had 30 seconds, Representative. But Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you. And I don't, ladies and gentlemen, or Mr. Speaker, I don't think that we need a whole lot of debate on this. The Section 320 eliminates $18 million from our general budget in 2018. And in 2019 and 20, $28 million. So if you pull that out, we don't have those budget reductions. And so someplace we're going to have to come up in 2019, 2020 with another $30 million in cuts to general funds. And so really, what are we talking about here? Well, I think what we're really talking about right here is the next budget amendment that's coming up on how we deal with the University of Wyoming and the community colleges through Section 320. But let's go real quickly. Let's just talk about what 320 does. You know, we can only affect general fund dollars, and that's what 320 does. It's a general fund reduction, and that's part of our overall plan to get to to correct our structural deficit in 1920. And this is roughly $30 million of that structural deficit corrected. And instead of going in and just getting rid of or eliminating and riffing people from their positions, the governor or the good chief executive said, we need some flexibility in this. How can we effectuate this without riffing people in their positions? So we said, well, we'll come up with a plan that allows you to eliminate 75 positions between now and the end of this biennium. And there's, you know, there's about 10% attrition in state government almost on a monthly basis. A turnaround of all of agencies in the state of Wyoming, of those 4,800 folks we're talking about, there are usually between 30 to 100 vacancies going there almost at all times. So now he can take those folks where the position is vacated, and he says, okay, we're not going to fill this position, but we're not going to fire anybody. But he has this large superflex that you can move around from agency to agency and from division to division to fill those positions. So all of the important positions, the critical ones that you have to fill, can be filled. At the end of the day, it's just 75 positions by June of 2018. And so he's got flex to do it. He's got all these mechanisms to do it so that, and the other component of that is the chief executive is the most qualified person to know where those the cuts ought to be made, which agencies have too many, which ones can't take a cut. And so, because he understands those agencies more than anybody else. So it's a peg number, 75 positions, and they have to fill them. And if you recall, the other part of 320 is he can cut programs or other components of those funding mechanisms to make up at the cost of $75,000 per employee, which is just a drop in the general fund. So we've given him this broad superflex to come up with $18 million between now and June of 18, and $28 million for the 19-20 fiscal budget. And so it's actually a very creative, absolutely fair way to do it, and to do it where you're trimming off where you can do it in the most appropriate places with a person who knows the most about it to get it done. So on and against that, and then on the net, and we'll attack the community colleges and our one-year school in the next budget amendment that comes up next. So on and against.
Okay, anyone else for the first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question here. I guess my biggest question is we talked about the elimination of these 75 positions and how it's going to help us in the 19-20 budget, and we're attempting to look forward down the road and how this is going to be a structural deficit as we move forward. But I guess my concern is if we're looking at taking these 75 positions out and general fund monies come in and they start looking at and increasing here, we may have just eliminated those 75 positions that may have not necessarily needed to be eliminated in 1920, and we wouldn't necessarily be looking at this reduction in 1920. I feel like that's the purview for our budget session next time around, not to make these cuts now for the next biennium. So I guess I'm on and in favor of this amendment because it doesn't seem to me that we're looking at this. We're attempting to look at this particular biennium, but we're also looking down the road is what I keep hearing. And, I've heard a lot of talk this particular session about, well, what happens when we start to see commodity prices rebound or anything like that, especially with school funding or anything like that. But then we don't see it on this. We're just cutting. And I guess the question to me is, why are we looking at the 1920 biennium? We haven't even begun to get there yet, and I don't know that we necessarily need to be talking about that at this point. So if we could get some clarification as to why we're looking at the 1920 without even breaking through halfway through this biennium, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. And members, just kind of a time management thing. We have 30 amendments. We've been averaging about 20 minutes per amendment. So that puts us, about 1 in the morning. And let's try not to saw sawdust and repeat each other and really work these briefly. Thank you. And with that, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. And I agree, it's probably appropriate and creative. I think my biggest issue or concern I'd like addressed is on 109, line 13, it's the 80% or more from state general funds. And I guess my concern, and if maybe this can be addressed, is we really are now, at least for the first time in my memory, going to start treating state employees differently, because I imagine when you apply for a job in state employment, you don't go and look to see what percentage of your job is state-funded versus federal-funded. And so I guess just some questions on this 80%, because I know we have a lot of positions in state government that are 50-50, some are 80 federal, 20 state. And maybe there's some flexibility with allowing a like amount of savings, but I guess my question is, why did we settle on 80%? And if you could address the concerns in, that's about 60% of our state employees meet this, and we're going to start treating, those state employees have to be a little more fearful for their jobs, and those agencies are under now a different burden, and maybe they always have been outside of, the two that haven't been, well, I guess now we've just moved the water agency under their own funds as well. But it does seem like, you're going to have to start being selective when you're shopping where you're going to work or where you want to transfer to in state government if you're a general funded or if you're a federal funded employee from here on. So the 80% could be addressed.
Anyone else? First time? Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one quick question for on this, and that's, I'm under the impression that we're going to get an interest payment somewhere around the first of the year. I want to know how many of these interest payments are scheduled between here and 2020, what that dollar amount is, and put that up against what we're going to gain or lose here. So I'd really like to know what, you know, what the deposits to the state funds are going to be.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, trying to answer this 80% of general funds. Really, all of us in this body, all we can affect is what the general funding on anything is, whether it be positions or projects or anything else, because we control the general fund dollars. So we chose 80%, figuring that was a dominant enough amount of general funds going into that position that we felt we had control over that position. And so that was how we came about using 80% as our cutoff. And that is, we only control general fund dollars in this body. We don't control the federal funds that flow through. We don't control anything else. So it's the general funds, and that's why we came about with that. Also, we know we have a structural deficit coming forward. Even if a change in commodity prices, by the time those dollars get to our coffers and get to our checking account and we can start doing anything with them, we're well into 2020. Because of the slow factor of getting things turned around. So we have to prepare for that now. We can't wait until the next budget session. We as the committee number two have worked hard to try and prepare us for the future, and this is one of those preparations. As the good chairman discussed moments ago, this is about an $18 million reduction this year, carries over to about a $28 million reduction in the 1920 biennium. Very needed. It's all goes towards this structural deficit that we're working to close the gap so that we do not spend too much of our savings too quickly. So, again, on and against this amendment.
Representative Bovee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm a little confused, and I know that I'm new at this, but I just heard that our chief executive knows where he needs to make the cuts. So then I wonder, why are we micromanaging him and telling him he has to cut this many positions instead of just telling him, here's how much money needs to be cut? I don't quite understand why the change.
Anyone else for their first time? First time moving to second time. Any member of their second time for the sponsor? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just real quickly on why worry about 1920. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's really pretty simple. If you take the cost of coal and the amount of coal production that we're going to see over the next 15 or 20 years, if you take the abundance of natural gas that we now have in the United States and the cost of production in other places, and the cost of producing oil here in Wyoming, if we have an increase in commodities 5 or 10 or 15%, the chances are more than 50-50 that in 1920 we're still going to have some type of a structural deficit. We are literally just narrowing the bridge, and quite honestly, we may not be there unless there is a huge boom. And honestly, in all forecasts, that's not likely to happen. In addition to that, one of our next big revenue source is from realized capital gains. Everyone in that industry says that we can no longer expect the amount of realized capital gains, that we'll be lucky to have a 50-50 chance to get 5% in the next 10 years. And so, honestly, this is the cuts that we made, the equivalent to $100 million in the next biennium, particularly on the other side of the House, they don't think it's going to be enough. And so we're hoping against hope that we're going to have more money and that we won't have to cut more, but the chances are that we will, or there's a 50-50 chance that's just what's coming at us. So I don't want to belabor. I think you all understand what 320 does and what the benefits are for it, so on and against the amendment.
Anyone else? Second time? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, on and in favor of Amendment 17. And Amendment 17 gets rid of Section 320, gets rid of the hard freeze, and no longer that directs the governor how to put together the fiscal year 1920 budget. In answer to a couple of the questions someone had asked about kind of interest payments that are expected later on, we will see another budget amendment that talks about the $83 million that we expect to get in capital gains on June 30th of this year. So you can keep that in your kind of your back pocket. But again, in my mind, 320 doesn't make sense and is unfair. Again, it only covers 60% of state positions. It is not fair to the people who sit next to each other, some of whom are wholly state-funded and some are funded by the state and the feds. It also is unfair among agencies, where some are wholly state-funded and others aren't. So it really puts state workers, who never perceived of themselves as different from their neighbors, in very different positions. It also asks or requires of the governor to look at the budget-making process in a very different way that, and honestly anticipates that it will be incredibly messy and gives a solution that we don't need. Our budget-making process right now works. And it puts us in the driver's seat with the governor putting together a budget in December following Craig. It makes JAC have weeks of hearings with agencies, and then it puts us in the driver's seat. We won't need to back out of decisions that were made for June 30th of next year while we're in session in February. We won't need to back out of it if we do it correctly. And then finally, in terms of the money, this talks about 75 positions at $75,000, talking about $5 to $6 million, but not until the next biennium. So again, on and in favor of this amendment, we vote in favor of this amendment, we pull the next two. But on and in favor of this amendment, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 17 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 17 has failed. We are on third reading amendment number 18. Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 18 to House Bill 1 and ask your favorable approval. Okay, we're going to go through this process one more time. Last time when we discussed this, I was told that the cuts to the university were based on the same cuts that other agencies are taking. We've researched that, and I dispute that finding. The university has already cut 318 positions. We'll be cutting an additional number to get up to 400 employees. And with this further budget reduction, close to another 30 employees. 400 employees in our community losing their jobs is having a very negative impact on our economy. So what's fair is fair, but I think the university, and I can't speak totally for the community colleges, but I think it's somewhat the same situation. Secondly, the university has eliminated part-time benefited positions, and other state agencies haven't done this. So they're looking at eliminating those who would be eligible for health and retirement benefits, and so they've gotten rid of some of those jobs. In addition, the university has implemented two rounds of early retirement. And I remind you, again, the university is raising its own funds through tuition increases and fee increases. The university president has been all over the state meeting with individuals, and justifying the cuts that have been made and what the impact is on the university, and also looking at cutting programs. So once again, I'm going to stop there, but if we want a first-class university, the top in the country, we only need to be fair compared to other agencies and treat the university equitably. Thank you very much.
Any other member for their first time? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, the good presenter talked about the university shooting for 400 positions. They're currently at just over 300. I'd point out over 100 of those positions were vacant positions. So when they say that it's affecting the their local economy, a third of the ones that they're saying have been cut or lost so far were vacant. So I don't know how that can really play into the effect. The other side of it is a bunch of those were part-time positions, part-time folks that were either vacant or part-time folks that were then converted to full-time. And so there were some changes there, but as those get counted into the total, I don't think it's the full impact that was discussed earlier. Furthermore, as the good presenter discussed, many of those were through retirements and buyouts. These were positions that the individual chose to take a retirement. The university offered an option, and the individual chose to take that. So this isn't as though the university has walked into divisions within their university, to different schools within the university, and just started cutting positions and handing out pink slips. This has been done very humanely, and to where it shouldn't affect the economy in that community, because those folks still have money, and those were vacant positions. And so we had this great debate last week. This is all about fairness. General fund dollars fund the university. It's one of our top five expenditures in terms of general fund dollars going out to the university, and the community colleges are right there in the top five together. And so as we make reductions to all of these various agencies throughout the state, we also need to make them to these two entities that are in our top five spenders. And since we don't control their employee base independently or don't have any say in it because it goes out in a block grant, this was the most effective way to keep that fairness that the other agencies are feeling. And so I would encourage you to vote no on amendment number 18. Thank you.
Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I won't reiterate the numbers that the community colleges have reduced their staffs, or the numbers that their university has reduced their staffs on and for this amendment. I think this would make a nice statement that we want the community colleges and the university to kind of settle into the cuts that they've already made and not cut them any further at this time. So on in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
Any other member? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a real quick refresher. So how much is this $590,000 to the community colleges? It's 0.25% additional cuts for both community colleges and UW. So a quarter of a percent additional cut by doing this. Frankly, during JAC, when they were testifying in front of us and we were looking at the budget dollars, we told all agencies that you may expect up to another 2% cut, or if not more, to fix the structural deficit. So what's nice about this plan is, and what after we did all the number crunching, is that we can think we can get this done with only a 0.25% additional cut. The community colleges are near and dear to me in many ways. I went to one here, and UW I graduated from, and also very near and dear to me. But ladies and gentlemen, an additional 0.25% for these budgets, I just think is reasonable given our fiscal circumstances.
Anyone else for their first time? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm trying to decide if it makes sense to divide the amendment at line 9. So with Division 1 being 1 through 9, Division 2 being 10 through 15.
Members, I'm going to rule that this is not divisible. It's probably close, but I'm going to rule that it's not divisible. So we're back on the amendment.
Okay.
Representative Conley.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All right. I'm in favor of this amendment. One of the things that wasn't, first of all, the previous amendment was the best. This is the second best. This is a compromise. And what this recognizes is that the university and the community colleges have block grants and should not per se be treated in the same way that Section 320 is thinking about all other state agencies, where there's an enormous amount of superflex that goes on. Right? I mean, if you remember that Part C of 320 allows for that superflex. UW and the community colleges have no superflex here. Instead, it is just a cut to the block grants of each of them, which seems grossly unfair. And in particular, because these two agencies and one other, so three out of all of the state agencies, were the only ones to take a biennialized cut in 2013. We had cuts in 2013 and 2014, and they were one-time cuts to every state agency with the exception of the university, the community colleges, and one agency that gets federal transfer money. That was it. And so the university and the community colleges have taken an enormous hit and a cut over the past 5 years that shouldn't be repeated here in a way that's unfair. So on and in favor of this amendment, this is the fair and the right thing to do.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would really just push back a little bit on the reference to the inflexibility associated with the block grant. That's why we give the universities, the community colleges, and the K-12 funding a block grant, is so that they can have the flexibility to take whatever funds are in there and use them as they see appropriately. So they really do have the flexibility that the state agencies don't have. They also have the ability to generate revenue through mills and through tuition, and that's something that the other departments and agencies of the state have. When we talk about the impact on the good city over the hill from here, where the university is located, and then we look back at the concern that other agencies don't have that impact, we would remind you also of the cuts that we made to the Department of of health, which is $134 million, 90% of that impacts not one town but the whole state. And so we're trying to spread the impact of these cuts that we have to make. There's no getting around the fact that they impact us, but we're trying to spread it across a bigger piece of bread than what we would do if we just done it on the state agencies without the university and the community colleges included there. So we'd really encourage you to vote this amendment down. And once again, I would agree with a good minority floor leader when she said the last amendment was the best. That tells us really what we ought to be doing with this, and that is not supporting it.
Representative Byrd. Representative Byrd.
Thank you. A first to reserve a second.
Any other member for their first time? Second time. Second time for the sponsor. Anybody for their second time to the sponsor? Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I just want to remind you, the university has already taken $42 million in cuts, and the university president received praise by both the House and Senate on how those cuts were handled. And so I'm just asking, don't reward the tough work that the university has taken on by putting an additional cut on them. Section 320, my understanding, gives the governor the flexibility to decide where to cut dozens of agencies, but it directs specific cuts to the university and community colleges. So I ask your favorable vote on this amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 18 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 19. Division being called on 18. All those in favor of 18, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. More than 17. We are now on third reading amendment number 19. Chairman Northrop.
I move third reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1 and ask for a favorable consideration. Body, if you'll look in your inbox, you'll find a nice white sheet with AAS, my initials on the top of it, and House District 50. These are all the technical and Associate of Arts management degrees that are out there that your community colleges offer. These are the people that are doing the work in your communities. This is a trained workforce. So I'm also going to bring back that whole point about the money. That mill levies were and are levied at the community college level. And with this hit that we took in the mineral industry, we're now looking at a decrease in those mill levies, just as it happened here, to the community colleges. The one in the northwest corner of the state lost 25% last year. The one in the western part of the state lost 28%. It's those mills that make it uneven in the funding for community colleges as compared to the one over the hill. And so I would just say that community colleges are your people that are trained. Funding's not fair, and I'll stand for questions to support this amendment.
Any other member for their first time? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, in previous debate it was talking about that community colleges can raise mills in order to offset cuts in the general fund. That's very limited. And with the mills going down, that's next to impossible. The other thing that I think that you should remember is that there's only 7 community colleges that are imposing those mills on their tax base. And there are 23 counties that are taking advantage of the community college system. So now what happens is we have this bill that's sitting up there saying, well, you get 80% of your funding from the general fund. So now we're going to have you reduced by this number, and you also have to reduce the number of people that you're hired. The community colleges are getting double whammied. Their tax base is going down, and they're losing money from the general fund. And if you want to talk about a triple whammy, the community colleges are also getting an increased enrollment because of the downturn in the economy, and people are going in to refresh their employment skills or to get new certificates. So I stand on and for the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Summers?
Mr. Speaker, thank you. So it was interesting to hear that we're increasing enrollment. That's great, 14,000 to 15,000 full-time students, but they're not raising tuition. So the community college chose not to raise tuition at a time when enrollment is increasing, and it seems to me like a small tuition increase would cover this cut. And remember, this is only a 0.25% cut, and so I think that's entirely within their ability to do, considering, you know, we are trying to spread this out across everybody and trying to make this fair. So on and against the amendment, and I would encourage you folks to be on and against it.
Anyone else? First time, Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, it's, folks, if you stand back and go back to about 2004, 2005, and you look at how much dollars, general fund dollars, we as a state have contributed to community colleges, our one college over the hill, and state government. Only one of those have we paid more than inflation, and that happens to be our community colleges. The other two are below inflation on inflationary value. So on the whole, we have paid community colleges more than state government or the college over the hill. And that doesn't, and in addition to that, over the last 5 or 10 years, we've started to pay for their CapCon construction, which is a whole new component that we never did before. As a state, we take better care of our community colleges than almost any state there is. And all you got to do is start going on the campuses, looking at the new construction, look what we're doing, look at the number of student increases and all those type of things. And it's a wonderful thing. And so to come in and do 0.25 additional cuts, it's really not that much.
Anyone else for their first time? Moving to second. First time. Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hate to speak against our good committee of appropriations, but I did want to mention that the community or the colleges in question did vote to bump up their credit hour fee by $5 per credit hour and to charge for each credit rather than capping at 12 credit hours. So they have been proactive and are taking steps to increase revenue at their level. I might also add that these institutions are vital to the communities in which they serve and the surrounding communities. And as a graduate of both one of these institutions as well as our four-year institution in the state, it's hard for me to go against any of them, and it's certainly hard for me to go against this good committee, but with this amendment, I guess I'm going to have to support it just because I feel like they're taking steps to do what they can. So thank you.
Anyone else? Majority floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I don't know about all the community colleges. I know the one that I'm familiar with were very serious about the cuts over the last couple of years. I think they have riffed people. You know, it's not just not filling empty seats. They've also cut their budget substantially. They've worked hard at trying to be proactive on this. And, you know, when things get tighter and tighter, it's just not fair to go after them as a whole to look at this. There's other parts of government that really haven't had the impact. Those are the ones that have to pony up now. And that's what we're trying to do here.
Any other member of your first time? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just remind folks that as we looked into this a little just this morning, we know that community colleges are funded a little over the inflation rate. Again, they do have the ability and have been adjusting their tuition and taking that into account. But we're spreading this cut over seven community colleges versus what you've seen at the university where that's being one chunk. I think that, and there again, there's no question that it will impact them, but we do have to make the impacts, and we do have to address this. So, again, I'd encourage you to vote against this amendment.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, the one thing that I've learned by serving in this body and being educated on our institutions of higher learning is that 75% of the graduates of our community colleges go back to their communities here in Wyoming with a trade, with a skill, contributing to our local Wyoming communities, and I support them 100% and urge your aye vote on this amendment.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really wasn't going to talk, but friends, I think we all agree that we support our colleges, we support our K-12 system, we support old people, babies, mothers, puppy dogs. I forget who else we support, but we support them all. The important thing to remember is our job is to have a balanced budget. And we can't have a balanced budget by paying for things with invisible dollars or with one-time dollars. We spent a long time here, last week, I guess it was, seems like 1,000 years ago, saying that we didn't want to raise taxes because we wanted to pay for K-12 education out of the rainy day funds instead. We can't pay for K-12 education, community colleges, puppy dogs, old people, and babies out of the rainy day fund because we'll run out. So, folks, as much as you support these wonderful services that we provide, we need to vote no.
Any other member, first time? Representative Blake.
I'll be brief, but after that, I think I have a good title for a country western song, all the things we love. But I want you to vote in support of this song. Show them how much you love your community colleges. Vote aye.
Anyone else, first time? Representative Conley.
Mr. Speaker, thank you, and I will be brief, too, and say that it was just a joke that was said to me. There are three political parties on this floor. The majority and the minority floor leaders agree, and the third is JAC. And so on and in favor of this amendment and in support of our community colleges.
Any other members? First time? Moving to second time? Second time sponsor, Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, please remember that if you have a nurse that works on you, if you have a diesel truck that's being worked on, guess where they were trained? That's right, in your community colleges. Community colleges have cut 98 positions and have not filled 48 vacancies. There were programs cut in every community college. Just ask for your support on this amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 19 has failed. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. That amendment fails 33-27. We are now on third reading amendment number 20. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1. What this bill does is takes the $1.24 million from the University of Wyoming from their block grant that they get for wages, and they will be able to move that however they want to. The here about a week ago, I got an email from an institute that said that the one per half a penny that we put on an increase in sales tax would cost in Wyoming 1,000 jobs. All of those people that have been funding the institutes that we just were talking about are the private sector that is losing the job. I've had several of the constituents that live up in my neighborhood, my county, that have lost jobs, had several pay cuts. The money that we provide to state government and the institutes that belong to it really never get to see any of these. My attempt on these, this one was to do a 4% decrease in salaries for each one of them, but I could not do that. This was the only way I could go about it, and they will decide how those cuts will happen. I think it's truly unfair, as one of the speakers said a couple of bills ago, that the private industry gets to feel the brunt of the cuts that are happening because they can't afford the amount of money that they have to pay to this institution, the state, and to pay their taxes. And also, they give a huge amount of money to the institutions that we're talking about. So I hope that you will support me and vote for amendment number 20 to House Bill number 3, third reading.
Anyone else? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would ask for you to vote no on amendment number 20. We've spent the last 40 minutes or half hour discussing these institutions and feel that what we've done is equitable, it's fair. Every agency throughout the state has felt some of this pain. And to then just go out and decide we need to poke somebody in the eye like this is completely unnecessary. A 4% reduction after they've taken all these other reductions have fallen in line with all of the other agencies is just completely unnecessary. As we've discussed, they've cut many, many positions. They have been very, very agreeable to help reduce budgets, to help reduce the state's needs. But like I said, we don't need to just now poke them and poke this one entity in the eye. And so I would encourage you to vote no.
Anyone else for the first time? First time, second time for the sponsor, Representative Edwards.
I wouldn't say that this is poking anybody in the eye. The private sector has felt way more than any of the institutes of this state have even come close to feeling. You talk to some of them that have lost jobs, all of those who have pulled their children and left this state to go to another state to get a job. I think that they would have probably rather stayed in this state, but they couldn't afford to, being there were no jobs to be had, and the one that they had in the private sector was lost. I don't think this is poking anybody in the eye. I think it's a reality check for this body that we need to be responsible with the money that this state gives out. On and for Amendment 20. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading Amendment number 20 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading Amendment number 20 has failed. We are now on third reading Amendment number 49.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Biteman.
Privilege of the floor, please.
Please proceed.
Okay. In the fishbowl, we have the officers of the Wyoming State FCCLA, which stands for Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America. We also have Pat Mischke, a teacher from Tongue River High School. Go Eagles. The officers are Taylor Holliday, state president. Please stand up and wave, okay? Heidi Henderson, state secretary and treasurer. We also have Vice President Grace Anderson from Hewlett, Public Relations Officer Mary Ridenour from Southeast Goshen. Give them all a hand, please. Yep.
Welcome to the House. Thank you for joining us today. Okay, we are on third reading amendment number 49. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I would move third reading amendment number 49 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does, as you recall, if you go to page 66 on the footnote, this requests that the good folks at the college over the hill consult with the town that they're in. And we did a little bit of, in the discussion that we had prior, there were some issues with the word that they shall consult, in other words, making it mandatory. And so what would this just kind of softens up that language, if you will, but it goes back to the fundamental discussion that that in terms of asking the good folks over the hill, and particularly the city over the hill, to at least consider the long-term vision of the university and how that the current 15th Street runs through and dissects the middle of the university, and the alternatives to that, both in terms of safety, in terms of unifying that campus into one unit, and basically making it flow, and making it a place that we're proud of, and that, you know, my grandfather was one of the first persons to graduate from law school and back in early 1900s from that university. And since then, in my family, there's probably at least 26 or 27 graduates, and many from the School of Law and from engineering, from every walk of that campus. And it's just if you just close your mind's eye and think about what that campus would look like if it was more unified, and if that's a vision that's worth considering, and I think that. That it's a useful, good purpose for it to happen. And I hope through the rest of the year that when you're over there and you walk across those streets, I mean, I watched a car wreck that happened right at the corner of Ivinson and 15th when I was in college there. But there's just a disjunct right there. And if we can combine that campus or at least to get them to think about it, I think it would be a useful thing. So on in favor of the amendment.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, it softens up the language, but it's still the same thing. We're saying that the university shall. They shall request a meeting with the city of Laramie. I think that's what your language says there, which I think is just completely out of bounds. Again, if this was another, let's say it's a community college. And we're telling a community college board, you shall do this. I'm sorry, that's why they have their own trustees. That's why they have their own folks that consider those things. So on and against.
Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is such a friendly, kinder, gentler, softer amendment. And I think I would just go back memory lane, I think, in my years in the legislature with our land-grant university. And many of you toured a couple weeks ago and you saw
the high bay and you saw all these buildings and you saw this dream that's starting to really come true to become a tier one university in so many respects, I would say that 90% of that has started in this room. And it's all started with conversations. And I think the key is for people to sit down and talk. And sometimes we get into this and, you know, we just won't, for whatever reason. And this doesn't require anything, but it asks us to get together. And I would say, I think back 4 years ago when we requested that the university meet with community colleges, because we knew that it took 5 years for a community college student to graduate in this state when they transferred instead of four. We fixed that problem, all with an amendment similar to this. There's another street to the north of campus. It's going to be a beautiful pedestrian mall. It all began with talk, and there's buildings going to be on both sides that are already being built, and all these things. And so I remember when the pasture used to drive around and park, and when that was closed down to vehicle traffic, we thought, oh, the world's going to end. And now you go there and you can't imagine cars actually driving around there and dodging pedestrians. And so I think this is all part of the evolution and the talk. So I don't think anything bad comes from people sitting down and visiting. And we only have one university. It is located in Laredice. And we want it to continue to be really the gem of our state and one of the gems really in the whole land-grant system in the United States. So this is a very small little thing, but I think it's important to begin those conversations. And we have a unique role that we can encourage that. So I ask us to gently do that and vote aye on this amendment. Thank you.
Anybody else for the first time? Anybody for the first time? Second time? Second time prior to this bill? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Where to begin? All right. So again, we're members. What we're doing here, remember, this is an amendment, a previous amendment that was successful. It deleted this language, and we're trying to insert the language back in. And so it would, and it doesn't say consult now, shall request a meeting. And for the purpose of what? For the purpose of vacating a street. So we're requesting a state institution request a meeting, or telling another political subdivision, a municipality in particular, we're telling them that they are going to have a meeting for the purposes of vacating a street. And I would submit to this body already that if the trustees of that great university want to request a meeting, they can do so without being dictated to within the footnote. So I would urge this body to say no. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time? Second time before the sponsor? All those in favor of adoption of amendment number 49, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The noes have it. All those in favor of the amendment, please rise. Those opposed? Less than 32. I stand corrected. The motion is adopted.
Good.
The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 21. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1, and I'll explain what it involves. Ladies and gentlemen, if you write down a number, some numbers, I think we can get this over with real quick. If in 2000, the previous biennium, the business council had a budget of $102 million plus, okay? And in this budget, they got a budget of $61 million plus, all right? And as it turns out, as according to the records, they've got in the previous biennium when they had 102 million, they had 55 positions. In this budget, they've got or the 17-18 budget, they've got 49 positions. All right, and when you look at the ratio, you know, this year, if this amendment goes through, their cap on their salaries would be $9,357,000. Like you see in line 16, and you know, just kind of interpolating what it would have been with another five employees, it'd be about another maybe $10 million plus. So basically, in the previous biennium, you had about 10 or 11% of the salary of the total budget with salaries. Now you've got 50 million left over, roughly, or 51 million left over. This not salaries, and you got about 9 million that is salaries. So I just thought it's worth discussing a little haircut. We always have these. You know, it seems like the last things that are ever cut is the number of employees, and it just seems to me that to distribute and manage and handle 50 million of non employee expenses would be easy to do if they had a few less employees. So I just took a couple hundred thousand off it. The other thing is important. I'm not taking it out of their budget. It's just taking it out of line number 5 and putting it in line number 7, which is the business ready, investment ready communities. So that's the amendment. And you know, either you like it or you don't. But it just seems like we have to get started on the amount of employees we have relative to how much is left in the budget to be distributed to communities.
Anyone for the first time on Amendment 21? Anyone for the first time? No first times, no second time. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, I just want you to... The concept is good on this. I like the concept, but here's the problem. Within this division, which is for the Wyoming Business Council, they have 9 positions. So the total number of positions for the agency is about 48, but those who just do the operation that's these investment funds is 9. So if you redirect 200,000, that's an employee and a half, which means they'll have 7.5 people to do what 9 people do right now. And so you just my only concern is you got to know exactly what you're doing and where these funds are going to. As opposed to, because this agency has about, I forget, 7 or 9 different little mini divisions within it that all kind of have landed in there over time that have nothing to do with the business ready community grant funding and where it goes. So just be careful and know what you vote for. Concept is good, but I think it's if you can make it agency wide, it would have a lot more sense to me.
Representative Byrd, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My understanding of this is we're moving money from one part of the account to another part of the account, and the only thing we're doing is penalizing employees to put money inside programs. I don't like the way we do things like that, and this sets a really bad precedent for the way we work our agencies.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the first time? Second time before the sponsor? Sponsor? Chairman? All those in favor of adoption of Amendment 21, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment 21 has failed adoption. Division being called. All those in favor, please rise. All those opposed, please rise. More than 16. Thank you. The next amendment for our consideration is amendment number 15, Speaker Harshman. 50, excuse me, Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move third reading amendment number 50 to House Bill 1. Ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to divide the amendment on line 3. Lines 1 and 2 would be division 1. I guess lines 4 through 8 would be division 2.
Verify the division is 1 and 2 is division 1.
Correct.
And number in division 2 is 3 through the remainder.
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Confirming for the body 1 and 2, division 1, 3 through 15, division 2. It appears divisible. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Which division are you proceeding?
Mr. Chairman, division 1, please. And on page 72, line 5 of your budget is Wyoming Business Council. And I just want to talk about this $407,393. It's a pretty specific amount. And overall, the $2.5 million cut for this agency, and I'll just tell you, once an appropriator, always an appropriator. And I voted for House Bill 1 on every amendment, even when a few appropriators didn't vote for those amendments. And so I'm really supportive of the hard work. They've done more work on this. And we, that's what we do is in our constitutional duty, we give that power to that committee to do all that tough work. And so I appreciate all the work they've done. I just want to talk about the $2.5 million that was cut from this agency. A little bit of history and why it was cut. And it was referenced to me, frankly, $2.5 million was cut to fund the Endow program. That's a bill now, a Senate file that's we're going to consider. Well, if you read that legislation, it's funded through the LSRA. And so I don't see anywhere in the budget where there is a movement or a swap of these monies from local economic development dollars to this statewide effort. And if we want to do that down the road, you know, I think that's fine. And I think our committee number 10, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, we're all very hopeful. I'm going to try as a member of Management Council to ensure that that committee, really this would be their sole focus over the interim to pull all this together and examine it and all these efforts. So with that said, as we move forward, and I don't want to say it was robbing Peter to pay Paul, but I want to tell you what we're giving up, and I want to specifically talk about the $407,000. And it's referenced to me now that the things that will be shut down are the Wyoming Technology Business Center. There's three of those in the state. Other cities want more of them, okay? And what those do, they're business incubators. They take beginning businesses, assist them with legal advice, with patent advice, with marketing, accounting, and all those things that a new business needs to start up. We've got a lot of success stories. I think there's 77 patents have come out of those incubators. And the longest one's been in existence about 10 years. The one in the northern part of the state is about 4 years. And so I think that's a good thing. And we're these homegrown businesses. And that's really – and then the next parts will be the Wyoming Market Research Center and the Wyoming Women's Business Center. Those things will be eliminated with that reduction of this $407,000. That, and you look at your line item, that's the Wyoming Business Council. The next part, and I guess that's where I'm at on amendment, on division number one, and I'd stand for any questions. I just think it's important that we continue this and keep these things going, particularly as we're moving into this transitional period. And if we decide down the road, hey, the incubators are gone, we don't want them anymore, you know, that's a decision we ought to all kind of be involved with, I think, and have some study over. So, stand for any questions. Thank you.
Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I can certainly speak to the one in the northern part of the state where the rivers run north. And it's really just beginning to come up to full speed. And honestly, it is an incubator, and it's really encouraging entrepreneurs to have a chance to kind of get their things going, and so I really think it's worthy of your consideration. I think now is not the time to cut back on these entrepreneurial kinds of things that we've gotten going around the state, and I'm speaking specifically of the one I'm most familiar with, but I think I would suggest the others would be the same way. So on and in favor of this part of the amendment.
On Division 1, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking in opposition to the amendment. So we voted for this $25 million revolving fund out of LSRA. Endow is on its way to the floor. The thought on Endow was it was going to be covered dollar for dollar by this reduction, by this efficiency. And now it appears that we're on the road to this being reversed. One of the problems with this approach is that there's no bright line of when it stops. And in testimony in the committee I serve on the $25 million revolving fund, they were very honest there that they're going to come back next time and ask for more. At some point, we have to draw the line on this and say that we don't have the money, which we don't. Please oppose this amendment.
Representative Furphy on Division 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me tell you, this is a great investment for our state. If you look at this $400,000, through the technologies that have come out of the Technology Business Center, we have created literally hundreds of jobs in this state. What happens is professors have a great idea, but they're really not very good business people necessarily. And so these centers help them develop their product, make it marketable, hire employees, and most of them have stayed right here in our great state. So this is a very inexpensive investment to keep these technologies going and continue to diversify our economy and keep these companies in Wyoming. Thank you.
Representative Pinnell, for your first time, Division 1.
Mr. Chairman, I've kind of got a question. You know, out of this $61 million that's in this account, the funds that are already there, can't they be transferred to this these projects already? And then another question, does the governor have any input with this council to move that money to these projects? Because I do question, I mean, there's $61 million in this account. So I really am opposed to the amendment the way it is now, because to me there's plenty of money in there. Thank you.
Representative Edwards, for your first time, Division 1, Amendment 50.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I definitely agree with the last speaker. I think there's enough money in there to cover it. This is just a little bigger splash in the pan for them to have more money to give away. Thank you. On and against the amendment.
Representative Steinmetz, first time, Division 1, Amendment 50.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question, and that is are any of these communities taxing themselves for their business incubator like mine is? Our voters chose to impose a sales tax of 0.25% to help out their economic development in our county. And so I was just wondering if there's any talk of communities doing that and getting a little bit more buy-in in the game rather than coming to the state. Thank you.
Any members for their first time going once, going twice? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a very, very, very gentle pushback on the good speaker. We split this up in order to kind of have it equanimous between the two components. But one is because the second component, they have, you know, millions and millions of dollars of grant funding, whereas the first component that we talked a little bit about previously has the majority of the staff, has agribusiness entities, has energy enhancement components, community block grant components and lots of different sections in it. The idea that this 407 and that specific number, it's one of those things that if they're just targeting that particular enterprise, but it doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to have the cuts in that particular enterprise that the good speaker wants to protect. That's just what they're selecting, and so and that's a selection process. That's not our process. We said $1.2 million for line 5 and 1.2 for line 7, and so what's this 407 is a number that they said if we get this, let's not cut this particular program. Well, they don't have to, folks. They've got $16+ million in that all the way around, and they can cut staff. They can do lots of different things. So. Just a gentle nudge back. On the whole, if we can get the other half, I'm pretty happy with it, but the other $2 million. So pick your poison, I guess. On and again.
Anyone else for their first time, second time? Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In answer to one of the questions, the Wyoming Technology Business Center was started in the community over the mountain. It was funded by our local businesses jointly with the University of Wyoming. So our local businesses stepped up and raised in excess of $1 million to start that center. And it, as I had said previously, it's been very successful. It's now expanded into other communities across our state to try to help those communities also be successful. So this funding, once again, is very inexpensive to keep this organization going and growing. So I'm very much in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We always hear the anecdotes about this program and the jobs created, but I ask you to think about, and we always need to think in economics about the side effects. What is lost here is that if we increase taxes down the line, which maybe this time we're lucky and it has stopped, but if we do that, all the people, the young family that wants to live here that isn't going to have a job because of that tax increase, it will have an effect. Or that young person in high school right now who we want to keep here. And that's always the argument for these sorts of programs. But the side effect of this is that there won't be the jobs if we continue to spend this money for those individuals. And I really ask you to think about the long-term effects of this spending, the fact that we have no bright line on this approach. It just continues. We have a revolving account out of LSRA. We have $2.5 million out of Endow, and now we're reimbursing the dollar-for-dollar offset that was supposed to fund that. So one thing I'd ask you to think about is the uncertainty that our state is going through right now with our funding crisis and all the articles that are out there about what's going to happen and the fact that that's going to continue for years to come. Hopefully our economy comes back. We can't afford this right now. We can't. And we have an enormous economic uncertainty. We have to fix our books. That's our job here. So please vote this down.
Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Before the sponsor, Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so let's talk about Division 1, which is on Line 5, which is operations. And so that's a... And it's received a 22% cut. And our reductions a year ago, chief executives' reductions, and then the $1.25 million this current supplemental budget reductions. And so my proposal and my ask of you is really just this $407,000, which is very specific to some programs in there that are going to go away. And that's fine if they go away, but that's a choice we should, I think, kind of know exactly how it's going to go down. And so it's had a 29% cut to this unit, and
There's 22 clients right now in these three incubators. We've had 10 graduates, been a couple hundred good jobs. I mentioned the 77 patents. Some of them you know. I mean, one of the 3D design outfits over the hill was purchased by a Fortune 500 company, another company that turned oil-filled machinists into manufacturers of orthopedic products. A doctor from the middle of the state is a graduate of this incubator. And so I think it's an important thing to take small guys and teach them how to be businessmen and give them a little help for a few years. It's a proven model. And I think, you know, over time as we study this and say, hey, we want to do X, Y, and Z and not this, I'm not so sure we've had that discussion yet. And so it's a modest amount out of a budget that's been cut 29%. Out of this operations unit 0101, and so I'm just asking for a little reprieve through the rest of this budget period while we study this, and so we don't shut these down. So that's my ask, and I ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're voting on Division 1 to Amendment 50. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division 1 has failed. We're on Division 2. Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to withdraw Division 2, and I brought it up here. And this goes to business-ready community grants. And just so folks know, because I think there's a lot of myth out there, so the current budget is $37 million for these local BRC business investment community. And these are folks that are working really in every county in the state. 15-16, it was $74 million. It's now $37 million. And so this myth that everything has gone up, 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 I think is important to know that. So I'm going to withdraw Section 2. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Section 2 is withdrawn. I guess. Next amendment for our consideration is Amendment 22, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading Amendment 22 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, I'll read the amendment first and walk you through it here in your budget bill. So, in fact, if you actually turn there to page, it'd be helpful if you turn to page 94 of your budget bill, because this is where I'll do some explaining here. But what we're doing is we're inserting a footnote here, and the footnote says this: the school district board of trustees shall not directly or indirectly expend any amount of this other funds appropriation for legal fees or other expenses in an action maintained by the district or by any person against the state, a political subdivision of the state, or an elected state official that challenges or questions the constitutionality or administration of the state's public school finance system, except in support of the state. So now, what are those other funds? Well, if you look at page 94 of your budget bill, and you look at line number 4, you'll see line number 4 says school foundation program. All right? And you can see the crossed out amount. It's $1.6 billion. That's the crossed out amount. And below it is the new amount, which is $1.75 billion. And you'll notice there that it's marked by an S5. And you'll notice that that is under the column of other funds. Well, what is the S5 account? Well, the S5 account is the school foundation program. That is the state's share of Wyoming taxpayer dollars that goes into support of educating our kids. So that's the other funds that it's talking about. It's talking about a very specific amount, the school foundation program money, which is $1.75 billion. Let me ask you a question. Is that the complete amount that schools get? If you answered yes, you'd be wrong. That's only the state share of the budget that goes toward public schools. The actual budget is a lot like our state budget. It's about $2.9 billion. Well, where do those other funds come from? Well, those other funds come from local mill levies from districts. They also come from federal monies or different aids or grants that the districts might get. So what we're saying by this amendment is we're saying that the school districts cannot sue using school foundation dollars. But we're not saying that they can't sue. And we're not saying that they can't use other money. So they could use local mill levies if they wanted to. They could use their reserve accounts if they wanted to. That doesn't prohibit them from doing that either. What we're saying by this is we're saying that we want these school education monies to be used in the classroom, not the courtroom. We want them to be used educating kids in the schoolhouse, not on giving attorneys money in the courthouse. And so I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for the first time? Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against the amendment. We saw an amendment similar to this, not quite the same, but similar to this on a bill, and I think that was the proper place for it. I disagree with doing this. One, I'm not even sure it's constitutional, but on the other hand, let's talk about what the mission of schools are, and part of that mission is to protect children's education, and certainly part of that could end up being a lawsuit. And so I stand on and against this amendment.
Chairman Greer, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman, sorry. A comment that was made. See, I think this, there's nothing wrong with this being in a budget footnote because it's directing policy regarding how monies are spent. So from that standpoint, there's nothing wrong with that. We've had that discussion over the last week or so. My concern with the amendment is, while it feels good, and I understand the reason we brought it, the fact of the matter is dollars are fungible when we block grant them. So how do we know, really? So that's, I mean, again, while this may feel good, I just don't think it has any effect with it. So with that, I'll probably vote against the amendment.
Speaker Harshman, for your first time.
So on 94, your budget, the 1.667 billion to 1750 billion, and that's a biennial number. And why that's gone up, obviously, is the 33 mills of local resources have gone down and recapture's gone down. We're in the double whammy. And so as local resources, local contributions go down, the state guarantee has to go up, right? The state share of the guarantee, I should say. And so actually this is a biennial number of state guarantee dollars, about 1.25 or the local dollars. So that number, it's real close to our general fund budget, ironically enough. And I think you're going to see this number start moving down, frankly, as we lose students and as we enact cuts to K-12 education. But to talk about this amendment specifically, I think it's a lot of, I don't even know if it feels good. And so I think it's about what kind of signal you want to send. And I don't think anybody's for lawsuits or this or that, but I think now us as the 60 members of the super school board are telling locally elected guys that many of them we met with last night, who many of them received more votes than any of us have ever received in an election, what to do. And how to do that. And particularly, it doesn't do anything because you got this $1.25 billion over there. So what is this signal that we're trying to send in a budget bill? I don't know. What's the signal? And so I think I urge caution because really this is kind of a little maneuver that says really doesn't do anything. It's a lot of kind of sound and fury to signify nothing. And so I think we got to be careful as leaders what kind of signals we're sending. And maybe that's the signal we want. Maybe when we met with our school boards last night, that's the signal we want to tell them. And so I think that's something we, as you settle in or you vote on this, you can decide. But I think we've got enough kind of mixed signals going. I think we got enough things we've said and things we're going to continue to vote on and do. And so I'd urge your no vote. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Winters, for your first time,
thank
Amendment
you, Mr.
22.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do believe this is a very modest proposal because, as the previous speaker, who is the speaker, said, this is biennial. And it is different from what was seen in a previous bill in that this is specifically talking about using funds from this biennium. And I think that that would be a good thing for us to do because it allows the budget to write itself and it allows for the recalibration to work. And so basically it's just saying during the remainder of this biennium, let's not see a lawsuit using at least these funds, just the school foundation program funds. Let's not see a lawsuit until we have had a chance to recover and to make sure that we're on a better path. And so I want you to understand the limited nature of where these funds are coming from. This is not saying never, ever. It's just saying let us get to the end of this biennium. So I just wanted to make that point. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Pinnell.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Yeah, I would urge a little caution on this amendment. I think that it's sending the wrong signal because here again we've been talking about keeping control at the local level. And now in this it looks like we're taking that control away from them. So, and I do think there's some issues in it, but I would urge you to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Any other member? For the sponsor, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, first of all, let's go back and let's talk about the school finance model. I don't think there's anything in there that talks about legal fees. Anything. I don't think you see legal fees in there anywhere. So this is money that's supposed to be used for educating our kids in the classroom, not for litigating suits in the courtroom. So that's number one. Number two, I don't think this really steps on local control at all because we're not telling school districts that they can't sue. We're not making the decision for them. We're saying if you want to sue, you can sue. And by the way, this is a moot point if they decide not to sue. This doesn't do anything. It's absolutely doesn't do anything. But if they do decide to sue, well, then it just says simply that you can't use those education dollars if you're going to bring forth a suit. But again, they get to make that decision. They get to decide how they want to spend their local monies. Again, I'd go back and just counter and say, you know what? It doesn't talk about their reserves. It doesn't talk about their local contributions or anything like that. It just talks about the school foundation dollars. That's it. So with that, I would urge your aye vote. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 22. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 22 has failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. The amendment fails, 22-4, 34 against. We're on third reading amendment number 23, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment 23 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, you'll recall that we passed a bill out of the House in regards to Indian education, and in that Indian education bill, there was the fiscal note on there was $24,850. What we're saying here in the budget bill is we're adding a footnote that says of this general fund appropriation, not more than $24,850 shall be expended by the department for the purposes of evaluating, really opening up the standards. Just what we said in that bill. But what this is doing is it's ensuring that it's not going to go over that $24,850. So with that, it's real simple. I just urge your aye vote.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a quick question to the bringer of this amendment as to where this dollar figure came from. Just would like to know if this is enough money for them to be able to meet across the state, bring everybody who has to is required to bring in openness standards, and make sure that they have the capable resources in order to do this and adjust this properly. Thank you.
Anyone else? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Once again, this was a bill, and I'm just trying to understand once again why we're bringing this into the budget.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you for a second.
Anyone else? Okay, we're on second time. Second time before the sponsor. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, ladies and gentlemen, we had long discourses about these particular dollars and where they're being spent when the bill was on the floor. So I would just ask you to oppose the amendment.
Anyone else? Second time. For the sponsor, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And in answer to my good desk mate, he asked me where the appropriation came from. This is actually the appropriation that came from the fiscal note. And really, what this is saying is we're not going to expend any more money than that. That what they decided in that fiscal note, that $24,850, that's what we're going to expend, and we're not going to expend any more than that. So with that, I'd urge your aye vote.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 23. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 23 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 38. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In hoping to set a trend of recalling or reducing the number of amendments, I respectfully withdraw this amendment.
Amendment number 38 has been withdrawn. We are now on third reading amendment number 24. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 24 and ask for your favorable consideration. And ladies, this will just take a minute or two to explain. So you may recall that we put in $104 million into the budget reserve amount. And then we put some sideboards on that, on where and how it could be spent. What this does, it basically gets rid of those sideboards. And the $104 million is the funds that we make available to the good chief executive in case there are certain types of emergencies. And but with those emergencies, they can only use those funds for items that have been appropriated for in the budget. So if there are items and we don't have the funding for it, then that allows him to appropriate certain dollars for items that have been appropriated with these emergency funds. What this does is it takes that down from $104 million down to $80 million. And currently, if you look at the total number of dollars that will be available in this fund, we know that there's roughly going to be $30 million that's going to flow into that budget reserve amount at the end of this fiscal year. And so he'll have that beginning in July. So if you take that $30 million plus this $80 million, that brings it up to roughly $110 million that he'll have available for him to deal with those emergencies. And no, let me take that back. This limits it to $80 million. I said that backwards. Instead of having $104 million, he'll only have $80 million. And then if you take the issues that he can cover, and basically that's a 4% instead of a 5%. And so what we said is, well, it probably is not appropriate to make these sideboards so severe that he can never dip into them if we have those emergencies. And so how much is reasonable? We'll make it up to $80 million instead of $104 million. He's already got $30 million. So basically this would drag about maybe another $45 to $50 million that would go into this account. And by the way, if we have normal growth and we don't have type of a slump, that amount will flow in a little bit naturally over the remainder of 2018. So this amendment is to kind of limit, takes down those sideboards, but caps it at 80. There's already $30 million in there. So basically, it's a transfer of roughly anywhere between 45 to 50 million out of SRA funds that he'll have access to, if in fact there's emergency and it's needed. So I'd ask if you have any questions, and otherwise I'd be happy to answer them on my second time.
Any questions? Anyone for their first time? And the second time? No one? Okay. We are voting on third reading amendment number 24. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 24 has been adopted. We are now on third reading. Actually, members will need to take a roll call. That increases. We're moving it from one savings account to another, but it is an appropriation. And so we will, Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Bightman.
Aye.
Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pannell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters. Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Winters. Excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By a majority vote of the members present, third reading amendment number 24 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 35. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment 35 to House Bill 1. Friends, on Committee 2, when we met in December, there were several enormous budgetary elephants in the room. We all know about education. But when it comes to the general fund, the two were funds for Title 25, and the second was for the penitentiary. And so this amendment here has contingency funds in the amount that we talked about in December, kind of moving from the LISRA to specialty funds for Title 25 in the penitentiary. So just as we start the discussion, know that for especially for new people, Title 25 is the nomenclature that we use because it's the statute number. But this is when we have individuals in our community in crisis and need immediate mental health care, typically in our hospitals. And these are for people who are at risk of harming themselves or others, and we are obligated to act. And that's called Title 25. And the shortfall that was expected at the time in December was $21 million in the Department of Health budget for meeting these needs. The second part of the amendment is in relation to the reality that our prison
over the mountain has some very serious structural issues that need to be addressed. And the concern that if these weren't addressed in a timely fashion, that we would need to move inmates out of state. And so, again, these are the dollar figures that were talked about in December that were needed just in case either of these events happened. Now, since the time that I had put in this third reading amendment, you will notice if you've read your amendments that there are at least four other amendments following this one, amendments 30, 31, 32, and 44 that also address these issues. And at a lower dollar figure, so I think a more precise dollar figure than what we were addressing in December. But I wanted to talk a little bit about this larger figure to start with. And Mr. Speaker, if it's okay with you at this point, I'd like to withdraw this amendment.
Okay, third reading amendment number 35 has been withdrawn. We are now on third reading amendment number 36, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 36 to House Bill 1, and I'll explain the amendment. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a good amendment. All right. Let me. I'm on page 104 of your budget book, okay, and we're dealing with section 305. And here's what the deal is. A number of years ago, around the 2008 or 9 period, there was a increased inability for people who retired before they were eligible for Medicare to get health insurance, and we weren't able to give any improvement factors or COLAs in the retirement bill, so and we had a lot of money, I guess, then, and we decided we would help them pay for their health insurance, and the implication always was until they could get to the age of Medicare. Well, as things turned out, there's two pieces to this, and if you look down on the line 21, payment, well, 19 to 22, it says payments to the plan on behalf of the eligible retirees shall be made monthly at the rate of $11.50 per year of service. So, you know, you got 30 years in, you got, you know, 300 and some dollars, a little over $300 that went to help buy health insurance when they, or to subsidize their COBRA plan or whatever it was as former employees, okay? Well, there's nothing wrong with that, and that's pretty orthodox. It's something that's kind of common from one state to another, when especially when you see these high-priced insurance policies. But the one that isn't common is if you go to line 23, and then it's when it starts saying, and the rate of $5.75 per year of service up to a maximum of 30 years, okay, for those who are Medicare eligible. So here's where the problem is. We're paying people who are Medicare eligible a subsidy when they clearly don't need it, and here's why. There's two parts to Medicare, Part A and Part B. Part A is no cost. Part B is a cost of around $100 or 90 some dollars, okay? But we are giving this subsidy to these people for their $90 or $95 Medicare Part B, and we're paying $172.50 for it. You know, and like I say, I don't know of another state that pays for health insurance, especially a profit on it. They'd have money left over to go buy a drug plan or, you know, whatever else they want. But, well, I mean, there's a Part D, but there, you could do, in other words, we're given a subsidy that's a super subsidy that's unorthodox, it's not used anywhere else. And the best thing about this is that it saves us $1.6 million of general fund money. So that's why you see in line 104, line 12, page 104, line 12, the number 1,748,000 is put in place of the 3,348,000. So that's the amendment, and I urge your support. And if there's no questions, I call. Well, there's one.
Thank you, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a question, even though I'm on JAC, and that is because having talked to a number of people about this, and to be honest, the next one, I notice in the original budget bill that it says we're paying this to the plan on their behalf. So my understanding is that the retiree is not actually getting the money themselves. So if that could just be clarified for me.
Anyone else for their first time? Majority floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the good chairman said, this is a good amendment. Vote aye.
Anyone else for the first time? Second time, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only thing I can add is that there's an administrative agency that handles this, and that's where the money goes. And clearly, the money that goes there is more than what is needed. In fact, my argument is that you really don't need any subsidy when you're Medicare eligible, and I should know. So please pay attention to the majority floor leader on this bill or amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 36. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 36 has been adopted. It reduces the budget. It will require a roll call vote. The chief clerk, please call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn. Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson. No. Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Blake. Aye to no. Henderson, aye to no. Barlow, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 49 aye, 11 no.
By the affirmative vote of the majority members present, third reading amendment number 36 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 40. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Seeing the overwhelming support for the previous bill, previous amendment, I withdraw Amendment 40.
Third reading amendment number 40 has been withdrawn. We are now on third reading amendment number 39.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Northrup. Okay, before we move that amendment, Chairman Kirkbride.
This privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
We have as our guest this afternoon the chairman of the Platte County School District Number 1 Board of Trustees, Greg Meyer from Wheatland. Please welcome him.
Welcome to the House. We're on third reading amendment number 39. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 39 to House Bill 1 and will explain it. What has happened is that one of the community colleges has had a series of pipes within the school start to literally rust out, and it goes throughout one of their major buildings. They need some funds so that they can put a study together to figure out how they're going to fix it. They've used major maintenance as it is now to fix what they can, and they're looking for some help through an engineer and an architect to figure out how to get these pipes out of the walls and out of the floors to be able to get this fixed up. So I furthermore ask for your support on House Bill 39.
Anyone for their first time? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate and recognize that this work needs to be done for the good school in the city where the spring runs from the rocks, and I think that we've got some attempts to do that in some other amendments as we move forward. The trouble I'm having with this is that we're taking money away from corrections. We're putting money in there, but they're funds that they can't use at will. They're the tobacco settlement funds, which we have pretty well rated already. I think that field's pretty much barren now, and to try and find a few kernels of tobacco funds is going to be pretty difficult to do. And so I don't know where we'll get those and the impact that has on corrections for flexibility in using those funds even complicates it worse. So I'd really encourage the body to vote this down. We're going to take care of the problem at hand here in the next couple of amendments.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. And looking at this amendment in the next few, I just want some discussion on how much we think this is going to cost. This amendment calls for $200,000. There's different amounts in the upcoming. Hopefully someone kind of studied and said, here's a rough estimate of what we think, and I guess I just want someone to tell me what we think it's going to cost, and that would help me pick which amendment.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm a no on this amendment, and if you try to follow it, really explain to yourself what's being done with the money, taking it out of one, adding it into another, moving it around, kind of a very convoluted way to get the money. I'm not saying they don't need it, but I think there's better ways to do this, and they may be coming up. And I think the number I heard on the ultimate end of this is somewhere in the $8 million range. So I really have some concerns about affecting Agency 80 on any of this. They've taken a number of reductions. So I'm a no on the amendment, and I think we can find a better way to do this in some of the following ones.
Anyone else? First time, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The study to determine how to put together the program or the project will cost, I'm told, $300,000. What this amendment asks for is for $200,000 to where the institution puts up $100,000 of their own. I don't know where it's coming from. And I know that we'll have concerns no matter where we take it from, but the institution itself is spent in excess of $1 million over the years to replace these pipes, and is putting up money for the study.
Anyone else? First time. Second time. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we're looking at $300,000 for the study. And the $200,000, as the previous speaker has said, they've already got $100,000 lined out for it. So the $200,000 was to top that off and finish that study up. Why you ask for a study? Because you're right. There was one person who mentioned it's an $8 million figure to fix this, and they're balking at that. They're saying, you know what, there's got to be a better solution than $8 million to tear a building apart, to pull out steel pipes that are inside the building that are fire suppression and water supply, and turn around and put something back in. There's got to be a cheaper way to do it, but the only way they can do it is to get a study put together, and that's what this is for. I respectfully ask for your consideration, favorable consideration.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 39. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 39 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 47. Members, I would just say that we have three standing committees who have meetings scheduled, and so we're going to keep working these amendments. There's people who are here to attend those standing committees, so we're going to work maybe another 20 minutes or so, see how far we get. And if we need to, we'll take a break maybe for an hour. I've heard from those three chairmen. They think that their standing committees will all last about an hour. And the rest of us could go grab a quick bite to eat, come back, and we'll finish up third reading on these amendments. So that's kind of our work plan for tonight. So with that, amendment number 47, Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 47 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, I brought this because of the need and basically a compromise for the dollars requested, and it's just general fund dollars. So when folks have an emergencies, then sometimes, I mean, we have to step up to the plate and do it. Frankly, I think the $300,000 was a rough estimate. They don't know what that will really cost. If it goes over $200,000, then they've already got $100,000 there. I'm thinking they could do it with $200,000. In fact, those were the informal discussions at one point in time. At the end of the day, we want to help what we can, but also make sure that they do their fair share, and so I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Question.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Quick question here. Why can't they do this study with the funds that are currently appropriated?
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Northrop.
Thank you. So part of the funding problem is, like I described, that whole thing about community colleges is they've taken a hit on their mills, they've taken a hit on appropriations, and they're down 19, 20, I've heard 22% in some of these community colleges on their funding. So they're down on funds, they've let people go, they've killed programs. Community colleges are scraping the barrel at the bottom of the barrel right now. So I stand in support of this amendment.
Representative Crank.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, my understanding is this is the fire suppression system throughout the entire campus, not just a building. It was installed in, what I understand, is around 1985. Fire suppression piping is typically carbon steel, galvanized, and it's starting to wear out and pinhole throughout the campus, so they're experiencing problems throughout, and the studies to try to figure out just where they might have hot soils or something, and that's what they're looking for. So thank you.
Chairman Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to be clear here, the way I read this language in this amendment and the previous amendment was this is not for a study. This is to provide emergency border piping, special repairs, or replacement. This is not for a study. This is actually to do work. Unless I'm reading something incorrectly here, I would like that clarified. Thank you.
Anyone else, first time? Moving on to Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer some of the questions, that's right, this is for emergency repairs. To get some of this done, you don't want the fire suppression system leaking into the computer room or onto a laboratory or something like that, for one. The other answer is to a question is we do pay for major maintenance at the community colleges. That is one of the things we do fund. And this is part of the start of a lot of major maintenance at this university or college. I'm sorry. So it'll be up in the future. We'll have to consider it. But right now we're putting things into, call it a reasonably secure position of doing the major things. There will be more in the future. We know, but we're trying to protect the assets as best we can right now.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief.
On and for the amendment, and I just want to give the body a little bit of history here. It's been about a decade, but this school that we're talking about had an incident where there was a fire in one of these rooms. And previous life, I was a volunteer fire department, and this institution is in the city. So the city responded to that fire, and for the first time after 9/11, they paged the volunteer fire department out to respond to this fire. And that was a first for us because the institutions really hadn't coordinated and worked together. But I remember my pager going out and thinking, wow, the city's calling us. And really what it was is it was due to one of these very instances, the boiler room, the pipes that heated, and it was very expensive, the remodel and the effort that went into dealing with the issue afterwards. So I say we move forward with this amendment. Let's make sure that there's some emergency funds there to deal with this issue.
Anyone else, first time? Moving to second time, any members or second time before the sponsor? Question being called. We are voting on third reading amendment number 47. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 47 is passed. That increases the budget. That will be require a roll call vote. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
No.
Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Aye. Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund. Excused. Air.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
Aye.
Aye. Garou.
Aye.
Aye. Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
No.
No. Haley.
Aye.
Aye. Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Aye. Henderson.
Aye.
Aye. Hunt.
Aye.
Aye. Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Aye. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Nope.
No. Lindholm.
Nope.
No. Lone.
Nope.
No. Laux.
Nope.
No. McGuire.
No.
No. Madden.
Aye.
Aye. McKim.
Aye.
Aye. Miller.
Nope.
No. Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
No.
No. Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
Aye.
Aye. Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar.
No.
No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz.
No.
No. Sweeney.
Aye.
Aye. Walters.
No.
No. Wilson.
Aye.
Aye. Winters.
No.
No. Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 37 aye, 22 no, 1 excused.
Affirmative vote of members present. Third reading amendment number 47 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 25. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 25 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this has to do with the section 320. So this is, as you recall, this is our $18 million dollar reduction for 2018, $28 million reduction for the fiscal year 19 and 20. And the time frame, if you go back and look at page 107, line 3, we instituted this to commence in January in terms of the total number of employees. And we had just picked that date rather arbitrarily as we were putting this section 320 together. This moves it from January to April, and we did that for about three or four different reasons. Because really, we caught a couple of the larger agencies by surprise, and those are ones that they, particularly the Department of Corrections and also the folks that deal with our environmental quality and as well the Department of Health. They had to do a couple of things in order to, because if you may recall that most of our, a lot of our vacancies are in primarily the have to do with corrections and health. This allows them a little bit of a flex time in order to prepare for these major freezes and reductions that are coming up. You may recall that right now there's a basically the chief executive has a soft freeze on all new positions, and that will remain in effect. But before the actual hard freeze comes in order for them to situate themselves without overloading the system, we're moving it from January to April, and it won't have any significant changes on the overall dollars saved. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Any members for the first time? Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number 25. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 25 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 26. Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I move third reading amendment number 26 to House Bill 1 and would ask you for your favorable consideration, body. This one also has to do with Section 320, and if you'll notice there on page 107, on page 107 down on line number 18, it talks about identifying not less than 75 generally funded full-time positions from the positions reported as filled to be terminated on or before June 30th, 2018, or, and what we're doing in this amendment is we're deleting that or. On page number 108, it is deleting that double I. It's 1 through 8 on page 108. And that says, in lieu of identifying all 75 generally funded positions, that they can cut programs or services instead. What the amendment simply does is it tries to balance that out. It says, listen, you can't just cut services and not cut any positions. Because that's my fear. My fear is that what will happen is we'll see more service reductions. So the amendment says this, on your amendment, line number 5, it says, except that in lieu of identifying up to 30 of those positions, the governor may reduce appropriations for programs, units, or activities within the 2006 Wyoming Sessions laws, Chapter 31 as amended by this act. And it keeps the rest of the language the same. So it keeps the dollar amount, that $75,023. But what we're saying here is we're saying you have to reduce some positions. In other words, of these 75 positions that you identify, 30 of those positions, in lieu of those, you can go ahead and cut programs or services. But you have to make 45 reductions as far as positions are concerned. And that can come through attrition or whatever it might be. But it says, it gives a hard number that you have to reduce at least by 45 positions. And then the rest of those 30, if you want to identify those by program cuts or service cuts, you can do that. And so with that, I would stand for any questions or ask for your favorable consideration.
Any members for the first time? Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I've stood fast with the JAC all this time, and I like this amendment. I think that's part of why we bring stuff out to the body and look for good ideas. And I don't know if this was discussed during the hearings, but I like this amendment. I'm in favor of it.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their first time, second time, or the sponsor? Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 26, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Third reading amendment number 26 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 44. Representative Guru.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 44 to House Bill 1 and look for your favorable consideration. Mr. Speaker, this amendment is fairly simple. If you turn to page 109, of the bill is section 329, line 17. All we're doing is deleting the first line there after section 329. The intent, the bill is written says that if House Bill 151 passes is enacted into law, there's appropriated money for Title 25. This is about Title 25 commitments. All this amendment does is remove that language. I know that this body passed House Bill 151, and I'm sure that the body down the hall will do the same, but just in case, just supposing that they don't get that blinding clarity that we had on 151, that this money would be appropriated. And I'll stand for any questions.
Any members for the first time? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of the amendment, I think the good representative from the Valley of the Grand Mountains and I had a little bit more that we wanted to do with this section, but we reached a great compromise here, and I urge your aye vote.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. I've learned since I've been coming to this body with the good lady from up into the Valley of the Stars that I need to keep one eye on her all the time, and then now she's got a conspirator companion sitting over here. It's a good thing we have them separated because there's some covert action going on here. I'm just certain of it. It just cracks me up what they've done here. It's really fun. But what they've done is we passed the tobacco tax and said we were going to take that $3 million and use it to be able to use that to fund any overcost in Title 25. They're just saying that irregardless, we're going to put $3 million into Title 25. Kind of watch some of this other funding. I would leave that contingency in there because if 151 does pass, we've got a place for it, and it's a good place for it. And so I'd encourage you to sidestep this sneaky
amendment. Kindly sneaky amendment, you might add. Okay. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this amendment. I think that if we're going to talk about those type of operations that might be a little bit off to the side, I think we should realize that realistically, and these are unrealized revenues. House Bill 151 are unrealized revenues, and you cannot put, I mean, sure that we put a fiscal on it and said, well, if we keep smoking at this rate and everybody keeps buying these amount of cigarettes, then we'll be fine. But it is unrealized revenues. The amount of depreciation and the amount of smokers is at 3.5%. So it's unrealized revenues. I think this is a responsible turn. We can't put a fixed dollar amount on the amount we're going to get because it is unrealized. So this is just a straight dump. On and in favor.
Anyone else? First time. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, only for this reason, and that is if for some reason the tobacco tax does not pass the next House, then this comes right out of general fund dollars. If you look at the other contingency funds, we take it out of LISRA, we take it out of some other places, but not general fund dollars. So I kind of want to protect those general fund dollars. If we need to take care of Title 25, we've got three other bills, amendments coming up to work with it. Let's leave the general fund dollars alone.
Anyone else? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of the amendment. The two parts of it, one is about the cigarette tax, one is about Title 25. This is the lowest dollar figure in terms of Title 25. We obviously need funds that will be available to take care of that involuntary commitment issue that we have, and it really shouldn't be contingent upon the passage of a bill. But importantly, when we were discussing that bill in committee, we decided that we didn't want to earmark it. This is just a way around that earmarking process, that we instead decided that the fund should go to the general funds and then be appropriated out. And so, again, this is a way of attempting to earmark that I think that we should be avoiding, and it acknowledges the importance of having funds available for Title 25 payments. So on and in favor.
Anyone else? First time, moving to second time. Second time before the sponsors. Representative Halverson? Second time.
Tall person. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If we don't take it out of the general fund, sure enough, it's going to be harvested from other programs. This is a good expense of our general fund money, and I urge your aye vote.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would encourage you to defeat this amendment once again. I think protect the plan that we had in place, as the good chairman of appropriations mentioned to you. We passed this bill and knew that it was a good place to go, and we've got these other bills coming up that really do, because we do need to address the Title 25 overcost, and we've got some ways to do that further down the road. But that's protect this to this money the way we had it designated here. Earmarking, I just think the majority floor leader would like to earmark me, and so I would, you know, I would again ask you not to approve this amendment.
To the sponsor, Representative Giroux.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I heard this mentioned earlier when we were talking about the budget as an elegant solution to this problem. In all seriousness, I look forward to the other amendments on Title 25. We need help in Title 25. In our Labor and Health Committee, we talk about little else, it seems, at times. This is just another tool for the toolbox. And while I agree with another speaker who spoke earlier and said this is simple math, it's math, but it's not simple. I urge you to vote on the amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 44. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. More than 19. Third reading amendment number 44 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 27. Chairman Nicholas, this will be our last amendment before we take a one-hour recess for our three standing committees. Chairman Nicholas, folks who are here waiting, it won't be long here, I think. So, go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, I would move third reading amendment number 23. And ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, really, this is just a technical correction.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's 27.
Ooh, 27. I don't know why. I saw the 3 and I saw the 7, and I'm ready for bed, I think. So I would move third reading amendment number 27 and ask for your favorable consideration. If you look at the new language, this was just brought to my attention by one of our astute House members that tends to read the bills more thoroughly than sometimes than I do. So it just adds pay, emergency detention, and involuntary commitment-related obligations under Title 25, Chapter 10 of the Wyoming statute. So it's a technical correction. Ask for your support.
Anyone else? Question being called. We are voting on third reading amendment number 27. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Amendment number 27 has been adopted. Members, we will stand in recess for approximately an hour, 6:15 at the latest, I think, with our three standing committees. I would tell the three standing committee chairmen and members of those committees, if you'd like to order something, we can probably have your food here in about a half hour. You can just approach the front desk. So with that, if those chairmen have announcements, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're going to be meeting immediately. Consider Senate File 106, obsolete reporting requirements, Senate File 21, death certificate, Senate File 99, Community Rural Health Clinic grant sunset, Senate File 111, Nurse Practice Act revisions.
Thank you, Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet tonight, right now, in room 38 for Senate File 123, School Nutrition Pilot Project, and Senate File 134, School Finance Size Class Waivers.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your House Joint Appropriations Committee will meet immediately to review Senate File 81, Circuit Court Judge Salaries, and Senate File 72, Large Project Funding, will either be in House 36, or if the Senate is not in JAC office, 55, we will go there.
Okay, members, the House is in recess until the sound of the gavel.